The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to the Andrea Kaye Show. She's blonde, 5'2", and 102 pounds of dynamite in a dress. Here she is, Andrea Kaye.
Welcome to tonight's Andrea Kaye Show. It is hump day. Yes, we have made it to the hump, my babies. Yes, we have indeed, and glad to have you with us on this hump day tonight. We're going to get over the hump by sharing with you guys the latest and the not so greatest in the news, my babies, as well as some things that we can laugh about, which also includes some of the bad news. And of course, we love to hear from you guys because we do this show for you. Your opinion matters most to us more than anybody out there. So email us at AndreaKayShow.com or me at AndreaKayShow.com, AndreaKayShow.com. If you miss any part of the podcast, any part of the show, download the podcast wherever you get your pods. We've got a first-time guest on the Andrea Kaye Show a little bit later, so you're definitely going to want to stay tuned because you're going to hear from a legal immigrant into this country and get his perspective on the border mess that is going on, or actually the orchestrated invasion. Before I go any further, though, you got to hear from this man. He's not an immigrant to this country. He was born and raised here. He's one of the few born and raised in sunny Southern California. It is, of course, DJ Sesame Broccolini.
I'm as mad as hell. I'm not going to take this anymore.
I was born and raised here. And you know what? I last night, delicious tacos all around. It was it was wonderful. It was beautiful. Now it's Wing Wednesday. Thankfully, we made it to Wing Wednesday. I'm not sure how, honestly, with all the news. I really don't know how
it's we're all crazy. Still.
I mean, I do look at the news and I'm just like, do most people just tune it out because it's truly insane? Because I feel like I'm going crazy.
Yeah, well, and you got to be careful with the wings, because if you are paying attention to the news, your wings might be infected with the avian flu, the avian bird virus, because they've been vaccinating our poultry, which means that they've been injecting the bird flu into our poultry. But that's a topic for another day. Let's talk about poultry, though. Let's talk about a chicken. I'm not sure if Speaker Johnson is of the poultry variety, if he is chicken and that's why he has continued to cave, or if he is of the swine persuasion and just another piggish pork swallowing. Well, I don't know. I'm trying to think of a food analogy to go with the fact that it's about, you know, the pork filled bills, the big spending for all the, you know, pork barrel projects that both the uniparty have at our expense. But as usual, the Republican Party did us wrong today. The remember the big show, the big Speaker Johnson signing the articles of impeachment, sending them to the Senate about 9 years after the House voted to impeach him, which was a torture, twisted, humiliating process in and of itself. And then yesterday I played the clip of Senator Mike Lee talking about, well, you know, they have to take this up. I mean, they're going to have to vote on this because what can they say? They're going to have to make an argument. And what did I say last night? I said, they don't have to make any argument. They certainly don't have to make a legitimate one. These are people that spent 4 years lying to the American people that they had evidence Trump colluded with the Russians. You think they're going to have any problem with lying about Mayorkas and an orchestrated invasion? What planet are you people from? And that's who Mike Lee is, who so many MAGA people think should be the next attorney general? No. We don't need any more of these gentlemen like with the dusty white wig and a robe coming out talking flowery kind of crap. We need people that are going to be willing to get down in the mud and fight on behalf of this country. And we don't have but about maybe two of them in the entire Republican Party. So, of course, the impeachment of Mayorkas goes over to the Senate today. And, of course, the Democrats killed it. But they didn't kill it by themselves because, no, we had Lisa Murkowski, who the Republican Party pushed over the line to retain her Senate seat in Alaska, uniparty establishment, voting present. So, of course, the impeachment of Mayorkas went down in flames. But then, just in case you're really feeling bad about Speaker Johnson, maybe this will make you feel better, because he issued a statement today. Oh, yes, he did. Yes, he did. He issued a strongly worded statement in response to this. I mean, he almost used a cuss word when he responded. Yes. I mean, what was it, Barney Fife? Stop or I'll say stop again. This man's even worse than Barney Fife. Except when it comes to the Republicans, then he's fighting. He's fighting to retain his position of power. And as the gall to go on legacy media outlets and spew this kind of crap like he did today when he was on with CNN with Jake Tapper. Let me see. Let's go ahead and play the second in of the Speaker Mike Johnson clips.
So I guess one of the things that some of these Republicans are upset about is that they also want border security to be attached to that. Now, you're going to put forward a border security bill, although I don't think it's been released yet. Yeah. But answer their question as to why it's not part of this.
This is very simple. I'm operating with the smallest margin in U.S. history. I have a one-vote margin, Jake. So in order to get something into this underlying package, we have to have the votes on the floor to pass a rule. You know, that's how the process works here. The rule allows for the substantive bill to be put on the floor. I don't have all my Republicans who agree on that rule, and that means the only way to get a rule on the floor is that it requires a couple of Democrats. Well, they're not for the border security. That's not their policy. Some of these folks like open borders. That's what their votes show and indicate. And so we don't have a way. I literally don't have the numbers. I don't have a way to merge it.
Are you kidding me? What do you mean you don't have a way? What you say is, I'm not passing it. I'm not putting through a standalone Ukraine bill. I'm not funding the government another day until the border is secured. And oh, by the way, Speaker Johnson, you had more than a one vote majority when you took the position. And I don't care if it's a half. I don't care that it's only one limb. You have the responsibility to shut down this government to secure the border. I am sick and tired of these kinds of excuses. And I don't know who he thinks he's swaying out there. Oh, yeah, there's a whole lot of dumb, ignorant Americans out there, but I'm not one of them. And I am so sick and dang tired of these Republicans offering excuse after excuse after excuse. Oh, we just need you to vote some more Republicans and give us, an even bigger majority when we have a filibuster proof majority. We could have every seat and they would still find an excuse, because the reality is, Thomas Massie put out a tweet today. I'm not sure. Every time he goes to negotiate, he gets nothing. I'm not sure if he's just bad at negotiating or whether or not he's just negotiating on their behalf. First of all, does it really matter? Get him out of there. What are you waiting for, Massie? Our country is gone. We're gone. And this is what we've got in leadership. I'm so angry. I'm just beside myself. Anything you want to say here, Sesame, before we take a break?
Well, I mean, it certainly is not about the majority. That's a very nice little narrative. But as far as I'm concerned, this is a matter of political will. This is about the fact that Republicans historically and as of now, in large part, refuse to use any leverage that they get. I mean, we spent years fighting for this, and we fought hard to get at least some majority. in the House, and now they just they don't want to use it because there are ways. Like you're saying, we could refuse to negotiate. We could stop giving Chuck Schumer everything that he wants.
Yeah.
We could stop acquiescing and stop making other countries' border security a priority. It's just a lack of will. It's a mix. You know, it's about priorities. It's not about the majority.
See, here's how it works, Jake. The Democrats don't want it, okay? No, you don't want it. You don't care. It's always an excuse. And the reality is we see the game. That's the kind of excuse that might have worked back during the Obama administration. And it did work at that point because the Tea Party gave the House to the Republican Party to get some fiscal responsibility. And their excuse was, well, we don't have the Senate. We can't do it. So then we tried in 2012 to get the Senate and the White House at that point. But we had Mitt Romney, who makes Speaker Johnson look like a tough guy, the architect of Obamacare. That's who the Republican Party shoved down our throats. And then in 2014, the Republican Party was given a majority in both houses. And their excuse then was, well, we need the White House now. And then they had the White House with Trump and both houses of Congress. And did they secure the border then? No. These lies don't work anymore. And we're fed up with it. And the message isn't just to Speaker Johnson. Why is Thomas Massie continuing to tweet all day, every day, instead of putting forth a motion to vacate? He's no better. Speaker Johnson went on to lecture Jake Tapper. We're the greatest nation on the planet. We have to act like it. I am so sick of these kind of lectures from these jack wagons. We're done. This country is done. This isn't 1992 anymore. We're out of time. And we're out of time for this segment. I want to hear from you guys. Email me, AndreaKayShow.com, AndreaKayShow.com. We're at a crisis point. This is an emergency. It's 911 for America.
Andrea Kay, telling you like it is, while eating a donut, too. It's the Andrea Kay Show on The Answer San Diego.
Welcome back to tonight's Andrea Kay Show. Okay, so I'm a little bit calmer. Deep breaths. Really angry at the state of our nation because our so-called leadership are literally not just destroying this country for all of us, but actually even themselves. It's deranged how they are literally acting like it's 1992. 15 million illegals have come into this country. One of the things that Marjorie Taylor Greene confronted Mayorkas on yesterday during hearings was about how he has ties to the very NGOs that have been orchestrating not just the invasion, but instructing them on how to vote in this country. They're here, 15 million, with instructions on how to vote. And the leadership is acting like we don't have a crisis and an emergency. I ended the last segment by saying it is 911. The house is on fire. The house is on fire. Sesame Broccolini, the house is being burned down. There may not be anything left. November, if 10% of those illegals vote in our election, the election is stolen and it's done. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm tired of being disappointed, and it also should occur to people that time is of the essence. I mean, really, like you said, it's not 1992 anymore. We don't have time to just sit here and bicker and to go back and forth. And I'm just looking for that sense of urgency. Guys, stop messing around. It's like you're asleep at the wheel or you're just driving us in the wrong direction. And it's like, I know you guys don't want to, you know, get derailed or you don't want any little, you know, commotion to take this train off the tracks. But this train is heading to hell. I mean, truly, this country is falling apart in a way that I've never seen. And I never thought that this could happen. It could be this bad and fall apart this this quickly. Guys, we don't have time. Every single second is precious, and irreparable damage has been done, especially with the border. And they're still protecting my Orcas, and they're still slow walking everything, and they're still it's not about – it's just – not only is it carrying water for Democrats, but it's just, again, the lack of urgency. It's like, do you guys even care? Do you really take this seriously? Because this is not a simulation. It's not a classroom exercise. No. This isn't debate club. It's not model UN. This is real life, and everything's at stake. So what are you doing?
Years ago, I put forth the notion that the Republican Party, that our elections haven't mattered in a really long time. That at least not since 2016, that there's actual, I personally believe that there's coordination between the Republican Party and the Democrats on which districts are the Republicans are allowed to win and they're not. And let me tell you why. Because the Republicans want to be in the minority. Because they're in on it. They're in on it. They're in on the game. They're in on transforming America into a commun-. There's no other explanation as to why they're allowing this to go forward. I don't believe there's, I don't know other than, and where's Andy Biggs? I'm beginning to question whether we even have any Republicans at this point, because they should all be, any of the ones that actually really care should be out on the steps of the Capitol tonight screaming, "This country is gone. We need a deportation force." It's even the ones that supposedly are on our side, when they do interviews, there's this gentlemanly like or gentlewomanly like, style that just doesn't display a sense of urgency. The Republicans are in on it. We have to take our country back, and we're not going to do it. And honestly, what we needed to do. And here's a question for you, Sesame, and for you listeners out there. And it may be too late. America may already be gone. But what we needed to do was we needed to primary. There should have been nobody after 2014 when they were given at that point, when they had both houses of Congress and they were giving excuses that they couldn't repeal and replace Obamacare, which they don't even make that promise anymore. And they were promising to secure the border and they did nothing about it. At that point, there should not have been one Republican reelected. Not one. Whether they were in the House of Representatives or in the Senate. And if that meant that every seat went to the Democrats, it went to the Democrats. We needed to start from the ground up to rebuild the Republican Party. Is it too late for that, Sesame?
I don't think it's too late, but I do think you're right. I mean, we need to clean house. We really do.
100%.
The Republican Party has just, much like the party before them, the Whigs, they've just failed to acclimate to the times. They've broken too many promises. They've crossed too many lines. They've done too much for Democrats, which makes them in a weird way. It's like we haven't had that many real Republicans since 2014 anyway, because so many of them really just vote like Democrats, or they're rhinos, or they're just checked out, or they're not acting like they're vested in the well-being of this country or the future of it. So many of them seem like they're just running out the clock, wasting the taxpayer dime. So yeah, we need to start over. We need to go back to the drawing board. And it has happened before in our nation's history. And I think that it can happen again. We need to create a new conservative MAGA party and make it very clear. Anyone who isn't constantly working to advance the party's interest and the country's interest through that, you're useless. No, there is no more difference between right and left. An R doesn't mean anything to me anymore. Calling yourself a Republican doesn't mean anything to me anymore, because time and time again, R's are protecting D's or doing things that I think are treasonous. So, yeah.
And even excited, scorching commentary is meaningless. You know, I lost Facebook friends when I came out against Trey Gowdy. Oh, Trey Gowdy is great. Did you hear what he said the other day in a hearing? Yeah, I heard what he said. What's he done? Trey Gowdy was the perfect example of the Republican issues within the Republican Party. And so many conservatives have fallen for tough talk instead of actions. And when he had actually, this was during the Benghazi hearings, he actually negotiated with Hillary Clinton that they would only have one Benghazi hearing before the midterms so as to not to have the Benghazi hearings affect the midterm elections. What does that tell you about Trey Gowdy? And yet I had Facebook people that blocked me on Facebook because I criticized Trey Gowdy. We have to accept responsibility as voters ourselves in terms of what we're doing. What actions are we taking as Republicans and conservatives? I gave up a corporate sales career to get into media, to try to use my voice. And honestly, I don't know whether or not that's made a difference or not. But I tell you, I also have knocked on doors. I've also worked polls. I've also offered to take people to vote. I've actually put feet to the street. We need people to be running for office. Last year, the year before, we had over 200 seats in San Diego County where Democrats were running unopposed in critical local seats like school board races. Republicans are not active. We need to understand ourselves that it's a 911 emergency, that the house is on fire, and not just expect Trump. And this kind of goes back to what I was talking about last week, too, over the whole abortion controversy, right? That Trump wanted exceptions for rape and incest. And then all these conservatives were like, I can never vote for Trump. Well, they must not realize that the house is on fire themselves if they're not going to not vote for Trump, if they're going to stay at home because of that. All right, we're going to move on. Lecture over. We've got more news and things that we've got to share with you guys. And also, we got to have some laughs. We've got a new character in town, that's a part of Joe Biden's family. And we're going to talk about that when we come back.
K, Dynamite in a dress, or just Andrea K, whatever you call her. She's on The Answer San Diego.
Leave it to Creepy Joe to give me a reason to laugh today on Hump Day. Yeah. By the way, check out, he's been trotting around Pennsylvania. Yesterday he was in Scranton. Today he was in Pittsburgh. And check out this article on Gateway Pundit. It says, watch, union steelworkers look like they're being held hostage. And literally they do. They're all standing behind him. It's like a hostage video. They're holding signs pretending that they support him. Oh, it's hilarious. And they're not even laughing, even though he told some big ones today. I mean, if Saturday Night Live wants to revive their show and actually bring some comedy back, they'll do a skit on Uncle Bosey. Three times in the last 24 hours, Joe Biden has revived. Evidently, this is a story he's told before. I hadn't heard it before. It has to do with a family member he's calling Uncle Bosey. And Uncle Bosey was almost eaten by some African cannibals. I can't even say it without laughing. It's so bad. Sesame, if you could play the clip about Uncle Bosey.
Back in when D-Day occurred, and on Sunday, the next day, my mother's four brothers all went down to the recruiting station and joined the military. Every one of them volunteered. And my uncle, they called him Ambrose Brosey, they called him Bosey. My uncle Bosey was a hell of an athlete, they tell me, when he was a kid. And he became an Army Air Corps before the Air Force came along. He flew those single-engine planes as reconnaissance over war zones. And he got shot down in New Guinea. And they never found the body because there used to be a lot of cannibals for real in that part of New Guinea.
The New Guinea cannibals got Uncle Bosey. So even better. This is even better than Corn Pop and the black kids rubbing his hairy legs. This cannot be for real, Sesame. This cannot be the dude with the nuclear codes when we're on the brink of World War III. We just can't be.
Yeah, this is the kind of stuff where it's like, I really want to send this to all of my, you know, friends or associates or people I know that still support Biden. And it's like, come on, really? You're behind that? You want that guy running things? I mean, which of course he's not. But yeah, that was just – I have to say, though, I don't know. I'd never heard this story before. I don't know why all of a sudden this is all he's talking about. But, I mean, poor Uncle Bozy, man. I mean, rest in peace, man.
Maybe Uncle Bozy needed to pull his pants up and say, hey, come have a rub of my hair, man. And maybe they wouldn't have eaten him. Maybe they would have rubbed his hairy legs in fascination instead of eating him. I mean, who would play Uncle Bozy in the movie? Who do you think would play Uncle Bozy? Right now, if you're from New Guinea, you should be mad. Okay, is that not racist to be accusing New Guineans of eating his Uncle Bozy?
I think it is. And it's crazy. I mean, does no one fact check or even think to bother with Biden?
Can you imagine Donald Trump? Yeah, they have spent the last 3 days talking about Trump dozing off in the mm-hmm. trial, mm-hmm. in the hush money trial. But this dude's going around talking about Uncle Bozy getting eaten by New Guineas. This is insane. But that's not the only crazy talk that he had out there talking about to steel workers. He also talked about his mother, who he referred to as 1954, since she was 1954. I don't even know what he was trying to say here, Sesame.
My mom didn't live in Scranton since she was 1954.
What? You know, Special Counsel Hur was correct. He was absolutely correct that this guy, he wasn't correct that this guy was so riddled with dementia that he couldn't stand trial, because that's not an excuse to not stand trial. But he is correct that this guy is absolutely cognitively dead. He's dead and he has no business, but yet he's running for re-election. Mm-hmm. He's the nominee for the Democrat Party. Look, there's a report out. Daily Mail is reporting on a woman who was wheeling a corpse all over a Brazilian mall before she pushed him into a bank and tried to withdraw money from his account. And I thought a lot of people are laughing about this and acting shocked about it and talking about Weekend at Bernie's and all of that. But is that not back practically what the Democrat Party is doing with Joe Biden? Except instead of wheeling a corpse into the bank to take his money, they're wheeling this corpse around, this brain dead, corrupt grifter who sold off this country to line the pockets of himself and his crackhead son, that they're wheeling him around, ripping us off. Transferring this country off to foreign invaders. Because they're voting in our election. It's actually really serious. It truly is. This is where we get back to. We had some laughs at Uncle Bozy's expense. But the reality is we're still at a 911 emergency. But the cannibals are coming across our border. They're here to eat us. It's a 911. All right, we're going to take a break. And in a moment, we're going to come back. We've got a guest on for the first time on the Andrea Kaye Show. He actually came to this country legally. He's a legal immigrant, and he actually has written a couple of books. He's a fascinating character. It's some of the most amazing patriots we have in this country are those that came here as legal immigrants who have an appreciation for our country's founding. The Democrats don't want them to come here. No, they want to bring in bad guys that have been let out from Venezuelan prisons. But we're going to talk to the founder of Unpopular Politics when we come back. Stay with us.
Andrea Kaye, telling you like it is while eating a donut, too. It's the Andrea Kaye Show on The Answer San Diego.
Welcome back to tonight's Andrea Kaye Show. Glad to have you with us. Don't forget, email me at AndreaKayeShow.com, AndreaKayeShow.com. If you miss any part of the show, be sure to download the podcast wherever you get your podcast. I'm super excited to have this next guest with me. He's got anybody who starts a Facebook group called Unpopular Politics is going to be pretty popular with me. Maybe. I've got to see exactly why he is considered so unpopular. I think if I look at a couple of titles of his books, I've got a little bit of an indication. But he joins me now. It is Urshwin Tibu from Unpopular Politics and author of the book, The Boy Who Cried Race and the Blessing of America. Urshwin Tibu, welcome to the Andrea Kaye Show.
Thank you very much, ma'am. It's good to be here.
Okay, Urshwin, I'm hearing an accent. Are you? What is that, from Austin, Texas? Where are you from, dear?
That's not an accent, ma'am. Everybody where I come from talks like this. I'm originally from Trinidad and Tobago.
Oh, the Caribbean, of course. I've never been
ma'am.
There. I think, though, that's one of, I think, the only islands that I've yet to go to in my beloved Caribbean. Just so it's so hard to get there from San Diego. It's too far of a flight. But you're in Hawaii now. How did you come to the States?
My mother came to America back in the 60s, and she got sponsored by a family. She brought up her children. And I came to the United States when I was about 29 years old. My mother sponsored me. And since then, I've been here since 1996.
Wow. Well, welcome to America. We love immigrants that come to this country legally and who love this country. Particularly given right now with this, as you're well aware, this orchestrated invasion that we have from the U.S. government that is literally coordinated, bringing in bad guys from around the world and giving them U.S. Treasury money, hotels, all kinds of accommodations. And also, I don't know if you heard, but yesterday there was documentation that was found from government NGOs instructing them to vote in our election. How does that make you feel as someone who's come here as a legal immigrant?
Well, ma'am, it's what can you say about it? What can you say about it, really? I mean, everything about it is wrong on its face, right? You don't need a degree to tell you that what is happening is wrong. And especially when I came, I remember it. You couldn't file for American citizenship or benefits or anything until after being here for 5 years. And the people who sponsored you had to make it clear that if you come here, you would not be under government teat.
Yeah, and that's the way it should be. Okay, let's talk about your Unpopular Politics group. What makes you so unpopular, Urshwin? Because you sound like a nice guy.
Well, you know, without wanting to pat myself on my own shoulder, I'd prefer somebody do that to me. But I do think that I'm a nice guy, you know. But, however, the views that I have, those are not popular at all. And I get the impression, ever since coming here to America, that one has to assume a certain posture as according to the different groups that you belong to. It seems that you have to assume a certain posture, so that if you're Black, you have to be a victim. If you're LGBT, everybody's trying to kill you. If you're a Jew, everything is anti-Semitic, you know, and I just don't buy into it. I look around and I base my opinions on the evidence, I look around, and what is actually happening on the ground is what I go on. And a lot of times that view is not very popular. People prefer that you assume the posture that they would like you to be in. And I just refuse to do that, especially as, and I hate the term African-American because I'm not an African-American. I don't even like to call myself Afro-Trinidadian. But, you know, that's the category people want to place me in. So be it. So especially as a black man, people don't like that I take a lot of the stances that I do.
Well, let's talk about that a little bit because there were many people who expected that or thought that it proved that America was no longer a racist nation, that back in 2009 we elected a black man who was half black and half white, technically, I guess. Not that it matters to me, because I personally think race is a man-made construct, really. Right. You know, doesn't really matter. I think it's all based in geography. I mean, for example, I mean, people refer to you as African American when you know you're from Trinidad. I mean, slicing people up into categories and then telling them they're victims is a political game that's being played. And it seems as though that no matter what advancements we make as a country, and this is the evidence on the ground, and you're somebody that looks at the evidence, no matter what evidence to the contrary, it seems as though the identity politics game has so many Americans convinced that things are getting worse and they believe it. Why do we have so many people in these groups? And let's talk about the African-American or the black voting bloc group. I know that many of them are starting to see the evidence on the ground, but why do you think there's so few that actually you're seeing the evidence instead that America is not systemically racist? There's opportunity for people here. They're not victims. Why do you think there's still so many that believe that lie?
Well, it's a very genius strategy by the Democrat Party, right? It's very genius because when you think about it and you review the history of the Democrat Party, people are very forgiving of the Democrat Party, but they seem to hold America in a state of unforgiveness. Okay, mm-hmm. So they will forgive the Democrat Party for opposing the 13th, 14th, 15th, 19th Amendment. They will forgive them for slavery, the Ku Klux Klan. They will forgive them for the reviving of the Ku Klux Klan, lynching. The internment camps in the 1940s, you name it, opposing the 57 and 60 and 64 civil rights bill, you name it, the Okoye massacre, the Rosewood massacre, the Helen massacre, the Black Wall Street massacre, it doesn't matter. It seems that they will forgive Democrats for anything, but they will hold America in contempt. And it's a very genius plan by the Democrat Party. So you could look at everything that's happening on the ground, right, and see that what they're saying is quite the opposite. But then all they have to do is repeat the fear-mongering tactics that they have, okay? So they tell you that Trump is a racist. However, when you look at what Trump has actually done, you don't see actual racism happening on the ground. But what they do is, because they think of black people a certain way and they think that black people are easily swayed, right? Just throw out the terms. It's like a fishing rod. They throw it out and they know that they will get a lot of black people to bite. So Donald Trump, he did the First Step Act. Well, then they throw out the rod. Yeah, but he's worse than Hitler. Donald Trump, look at what he did for the HBCUs.
Yeah.
And then they throw out the rod. Yeah, but look at him. Oh my gosh, this guy is Mussolini. You know?
Yeah.
And then they do that, and a lot of black people, they don't look beyond the rhetoric that the Democrat Party is throwing out. They just go with what they hear. And I do not know why that is, but the tactics that the Democrat Party just seems to work because they get black people to bite whenever they throw out that rod.
Well, I think that's why it's important for people like you to write books like The Boy Who Cried Race and The Blessing of America, and people like you to do Facebook groups like Unpopular Politics, to reach out to people and say, stop being led by emotions, stop listening to lies that are being fed to you, and look at the evidence before you. Look at, for example, look at, instead of listening to what you're being told about Trump, look at his actions, look at his history, look at the fact that the NAACP gave him awards throughout his entire career in New York until he decided to run for president. And there's never been any evidence of any racism on his part. And look at what he did for Black Americans after he became president. It's important for people like you who came here as a legal immigrant to talk about the rule of law and appreciating America. You sound like somebody, you clearly, obviously, are also well-educated about this country and about the Constitution and what our system was founded on. And that's also very important for people, is to get educated and learn about our system and not just be spoon-fed what the left wants to tell you America's history is. Tell everybody, Urshwin, how they can follow you on social media, get your books, and hear more from you.
Yes, ma'am. So the page that I have is called Unpopular Politics. It's the only group that I have. I signed up with Twitter recently, but I haven't started anything there as yet. However, I do have a Facebook group. It's not very large, but I am trying to increase the numbers so that more people could hear what it is I have to say. So that's Unpopular Politics on Facebook. It's a public group, so you could just come in. If the people have been good for the most part, if anybody comes in and starts causing trouble, we kick them out immediately. But it's a public group. You could come in and join the conversation at any time. My books are on Amazon under Unpopular Politics. It's not under my name, but you could find it under Unpopular Politics on Amazon.
Well, thank you so much for being here. God bless you. What a true patriot. America is lucky to have you with us.
Thank you very much, ma'am. I appreciate it.
Thank you, and take good care. And you guys stick around. We got a whole another hour of the Andrea Kaye Show coming right up.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never before seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.